From the Farm, a monthly update on what's happening at the University of Alaska's Matanuska Experiment Farm in Palmer, with its director, Jody Anderson.
Good morning. Mike Malevsky here at Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Mike Malevsky. This is Jody Anderson.
Jody Anderson. You survived the rainfall that has come down and soaked so deeply into the ground. How are you doing out there? How are you staying dry?
we're really thankful for the rain. and we're doing really well. That rain just everything greened up. It looks gorgeous out here right now. And so we didn't get hit quite as hard as Palmer did.
Okay.
Yeah, so Palmer, yesterday driving home is when, you know, I encountered that somewhat deluge. And even from here, the farm, to Palmer, there was a huge difference in precipitation amount. And then from Palmer to my house, which is just up Bailey Hill, just near the Moffitt Farm.
Right. It
was a drastic difference. So I think Palmer got really lucky yesterday, and the rest of us didn't get quite so inundated.
Right. So let's take a look now. We're into August, and each month we've had a chance to take a look and say, well, how is this summer going, agriculturally speaking? And right now, you've started out by saying things are green.
Yeah.
We like to, because you keep the records, say, in comparison to both recent and the long history of years, what's this year like for growing things?
Yeah. It's really interesting you ask that question. A lot of people have really noticed this very stark, almost polar opposite summer, where we started incredibly dry and then hot, and then we got wet and cool really quickly. And so the crops that do really well with that are obviously thriving. Crops of not only plants, but also animals as well. If you've noticed, the grasshoppers are really happy this year. They have flourished. We're getting lots of reports of grasshoppers all over the place. And it was kind of the ideal summer water and heat regime for them. So what we're also seeing is not a lot of damage. They're just a nuisance, but they're not really causing any damage because they have lots to eat. So they're not having to, you know, eat all of the good crops. They're eating lots of things on their own. But in terms of other growing, crops like all your small grains, so in our area, that's generally wheat and barley. Grains are definitely not as happy. I mean, they're certainly growing like crazy, which is great, but usually they grow best in kind of climate regimes that start wet and then end up dry. So kind of opposite of what we're going through right now. And so I think that they're growing very well. They look marvelous. I mean, they're gorgeous heads of grain, but you don't want, we're kind of in that opposite rotation where you do want it to be dry when we harvest, and we're not going to, based on what we're seeing, this is a very normal weather pattern for us, so we're wet in the fall time, which is when we harvest. So things like grains aren't super excited about this shift in weather, but they were very happy to take advantage of the heat and the dryness. And then all of our horticultural crops, our row crops, the things that you've got growing in your garden, generally are pretty excited about what's happened. I know that broccoli seems to be the plants of the summer. Everybody's been so excited about their broccoli this year.
Right. Right.
And so it just, most of your crucifers do really well when you have, you give them some warmth, but then you also give them a lot of water and this cool down period for them and this wetter period is just going to make them really happy too. So I think this is going to be a good, a good season in terms of harvest. I know that our raspberries are just incredible this year.
Right, right. Very same thing.
Tasty,
yeah.
Very tasty.
So let's talk about one other thing you sort of skipped over. We've got grains, you've got the green stuff and all the rest. What about potatoes?
Oh, yeah. Well, potatoes. The good thing about potatoes is that they're happy anywhere.
Okay.
They're not super picky. However, as long as they have moisture to germinate at the beginning and they get good amounts of moisture during that initial growing, this as long as you can water potatoes, Alaska is a great place for potatoes because they really start gaining bulking, they start gaining weight and start bulking up in the fall time, which is our wet season. That's when they really just start exploding and shoving all of those sugars into starches in the tubers. And so you want the plant to get large enough so that it can gather lots of sunlight come fall time, but you also want lots of opportunities for it to gain in size, the tubers to gain in size, and water really drives that. So this is a great pattern for them. In fact, it's really amazing watching plants responding to water. I know that when we throw water, when we irrigate onto our crops, specifically, mainly we're just doing that with potatoes here. But you watch the potatoes, and they're happy that they got water. But after a natural rain, it's amazing, the difference. I mean, it's almost like, they know the difference between rainwater and irrigation water. And they just respond so much. Physically, it looks like, in my mind, they're responding. They get a little greener. They stand a little taller. And that natural rain just really helps them a lot. So this is an excellent weather pattern for them. So they're pretty happy right now. The potatoes are pretty, pretty happy.
Well, given that, looking ahead from August 2nd, where we are, as best I can tell, it looks in the next week or so, there's going to be a bit more rain. When would you like to have a week of sunny weather without too much rain coming down?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I think for our small grains people would be the most important to have that week of a nice, dry, sunny, warm week. And the wheat and barley probably the end of the month, maybe the last week of the month.
Or... Oh, that coincides with part of the fair. That would be
exactly
great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You see, I'm. You see where
yeah.
I'm going with
oh, yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. 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 Both. That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it is good. Well, I really do think that it would be to our benefit if we got, I would say that week of that 22nd, if that could just be, if I could put my order in now with you, Mike.
Sure.
Set that
okay.
up. We'd love a nice, warm, dry, not windy. I know, I'm asking for a lot, but all of these things given, that would make our small grains growers in the valley very, very happy.
Very good. Very good. Mike Malevsky here, Big Cabbage Radio in Palmer, Alaska, and I'm speaking with Jody Anderson, who directs the farm out there. She stands above it and watches things happen, watches everything grow. And I'm curious about those people who have been utilizing community garden this year. How's that going?
Oh, man, the community gardens look amazing. And I really have to thank them all for their patience. We ended up losing our water pump probably as a result of some power issues during the windstorm. And so what that ended up happening is that we couldn't keep the water on for them over the weekends or after hours. Our water system just isn't, it's too holy. It leaks too much.
Okay.
And we would lose too much water out of our reservoir that if we did have an emergency on campus, we wouldn't have enough water if we let it run all night long. So
okay.
we were actually turning water on and off for the gardeners every day, but only on weekdays. And so those community gardeners either brought water and hauled it to their garden sites or planted wisely so that they could, you know, prolong. And it was very warm during this period. We know, dry and warm. And these gardeners just maintained, stayed focused. And you should see, if you drive by, you'll see how gorgeous these plots are. People are going to, if they haven't started harvesting yet, they could sure start soon, because I've seen lots of beautiful vegetables in those gardens already.
Well, that brings up the question about the various activities at the farm that people can participate in. I know you've been doing both virtual and real activities. And
we have.
Talk a little bit about what's happened this past month and what's coming up.
Yeah, sure. This past month, we started a new program called Spark. It's a program based on the 4-H concept, that everybody has a spark. There's something that sparks interest in you, no matter what your age, no matter what you do professionally. There may be something that you're very passionate about that has nothing to do with your profession. Or you're lucky enough, like some of us, who actually do work our soul passion work every day. But we're inviting professionals, adults, who have these areas of spark to come out to the farm and to meet with interested youth and adults for different classes, if you will, or just kind of a learning experience, and talk about what makes them, you know, what makes them spark, and how did they get that spark, and how did they learn about it. And so it's a teaching opportunity for the students and adults who attend, but it's also an opportunity for people to participate in that spark. And so we've had some really cool sparks so far, and I've been out and traveling quite a bit this last month, so unfortunately I haven't directly participated, but I do know that we had one last week that was very popular on GIS, and we had Hillary Palmer with us doing the spark, and it was wonderful.
Oh,
and
it was
really cool. So we started that program. I think we're trying to do a couple sparks a month, and so we'll be running those from this point forward. So just follow us, our Facebook page, for that. And then also, I don't know if you're aware, but the Alaska State Fair starts this month.
Oh, well, yeah, we sort of. I interviewed Jerome Hertel, the executive director or manager. And we're going to be there. We'll be there. It starts the 19th, and we'll be there in Raven Hall.
Fantastic.
Each day it's operating from noon to 5. So, yes,
awesome.
We know that.
So we will be – we'll also have our 4-H building open, and so people can walk through the 4-H building. And also in the 4-H building we'll have many of our faculty and staff on site at the fair for just an opportunity for people to come check in and ask questions based on their specialty. So, for example, I am going to be there for a couple different time slots throughout the fair time. I'll be available to answer questions about soil or about compost or Alaska food systems or agriculture in Alaska, or just to hang out and talk about whatever anyone wants to talk about. But it's a really great opportunity for people to see some experts that are right there at the fair with them. And so we'll be doing that. We're going to actually run a geocaching adventure. It's a class that was supposed to be taught today, but we're having to cancel it due to conflict with our instructor, which is Dr. Steve Brown. And so instead of having it on another day, you know, just a normal day, Steve's going to take this class that's also hybrid, so there's a Zoom opportunity if you can't join us live or join us live. And so we'll have an opportunity to do GPS geocaching adventure with Steve Brown. That'll be super fun at the fair. And then also we're going to have a really neat series that's starting here at the farm. This month on the 9th, so that'll be next week, we are having a hybrid class. So that means that you can participate via Zoom with us, or you can come here to the farm and meet the instructor and be in the class directly with the instructor. And it's weather in South Central Alaska. So this is the National Weather Service, and the Weather Forecast Office in Anchorage is coming out, and they will be doing a weather presentation, kind of a general weather presentation for all ages. And then in the fall time, and I don't know exactly which month we'll start this, but then this will spin off into a monthly weather class. There'll be one for adults geared at that level, but then there'll also be one for youth geared at that level and talking about weather and different components of weather, and that will be all over the fall time. So we're really excited that that's getting started. We're going to have a berry identification class. This will be a great class on the 16th of August. That's a Tuesday, again, a hybrid class. So if you can come to the farm, we'll be in the classroom, and if you can't do that, we are going to have this on Zoom. And a lot of people are asking questions about what berries can I eat, what berries can I pick, what berries, and what do I do with them? What do they taste like? How do I preserve them? And we'll be talking about all of those things in that presentation, which will be super, super cool. And then our most popular classes with Julie Cassio, we're doing another food preservation class. This one is canning vegetables, meats, legumes, and poultry. Whoa. And that is this week at noon. And that's just a straight Zoom class. So that's happening. People can sign up through our Facebook.
Okay, so I've got to ask you something that is very often a little bit exotic. Mushrooms. Are you going to do anything about mushrooms?
Okay, so you're right. They are a little bit exotic. There's a lot involved in terms of risk management with
I was
mushrooms.
Just thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah, and so we do not teach mushroom classes, and so we stay away from that. However, there have been years we've been able to bring an expert down from Fairbanks, who is a mycologist, who does teach a weekend class usually, and we haven't done that since pre-COVID. So I'm not sure what the thoughts are on that, but that's always a very popular class.
Oh yeah, I know it's one of those attractive, I say exotic, but also a topic that has to be handled gingerly and appropriately.
Yes, which is why we call in a real PhD in mycology.
Gotcha.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. So so a lot of people do ask us for, people come in here to the farm because all of our publications are available on the wall and you can see them. They're also available on our publications website. And they're most all of them, there's just an exception of a few, most all of them are free. But people always ask us, especially this time of year, starting now, hey, do you guys have any publications on mushrooms? And the answer is no, we do not.
Okay.
But there are some excellent mushroom groups that are around South Central. And so if people are interested, I would say seek out some professional groups that actually do meet and have experts involved.
So now that we're on the wild side, what about bees?
What about bees? You know, we haven't talked about bees in a while here at the farm.
I'm just bringing it up, so maybe we'll catalyze something and you'll be able to think,
I like that.
Might be time to look at bees because, bees, whether they're being worked in a farm setting so that you do have bees there and actively looking for the honey, or you're ensuring that there's propagation by ensuring that bees are around, or all the rest of that. That's another topic, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great one. I will make sure Teresa's listening now, so
okay.
She's probably already written it down. But I will also write it down. That's a good one. That's for sure. And, you know, just like you did, we're always open to suggestions. I mean, we are here to help educate and give information, research-based information to the public. That's our job. And so if people have questions and would like, a presentation on a very specific thing, ask us. We've got experts, and if we don't, we can find experts who have that specialty where we're able to present that. Mm. Just letting you know, last month I was so excited because we reached our century celebration for being part of NOAA's community weather observation cooperator. We've been taking weather data here at the farm since July 1st of 1917. And so last month we were awarded our 100-year plaque, which is a really cool thing. And that has started a trend that Jeff, who does our weather for us, has been sending us monthly review of our weather, and he's comparing it to 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
So this was really cool because everyone said how hot July was this year and how things are changing so much. So our high temperature this year on the 3rd of July was 79 degrees. 100 years ago, in July of 1922, the high temperature was 82 degrees on the 25th of July. And the low temperature this month here for us this year was 40 degrees. It was our lowest temperature on the 27th of July. And 100 years ago, 34 degrees on the 18th of July. The average temperature, the average high temperature for us this month was 68, and the average low was 50. 100 years ago, the average high was 64, and the average low was 46. We had more rain this year in the month of July than did 100 years ago, and our total rainfall was 3.74 inches.
Oh.
this year. Yeah.
So is that information available in some way? I know you're enjoying it. Is it available on your website, or how do other people get to it?
Excuse me. On our Facebook page, once a month, after the first of the month has gone by and Teresa and I received the review from Jeff, Teresa always posts it on a Sunday. So it's usually the first or second Sunday of the month, depending on when the first of the month hit. But she always summarizes our weather and puts this exact data on site. Also,
what's the name of the site again?
Oh, that's our Facebook page.
Yes.
Matanuska Experiment Station. Sorry. Okay. Matanuska Experiment Farm and Extension Center.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. And then also, if someone's really interested in this data, you can go to the National Weather Service website and find our location. And then you have to go through several steps. But Teresa has all those steps listed that one of our scientists, Bob Van Veldhuizen, put together for us so that we can tell people how they can actually download all of the data or look at a specific date if you're interested in that. And so that's available online as well. But
we're going to have to finish up now, but wonderful information. I look forward to talking with you in September, Jody. Stay well out there, stay dry, stay cool.
Thanks, Mike. You too. Enjoy the fair. We'll
gotcha.
See you out there.
Yeah, take care now.
All right, be well.
Bye.
Bye.
From the farm, featuring Jody Anderson. director of the UAF Matanuska Experiment Farm in Palmer, is a production of Radio Free Palmer Big Cabbage Radio. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.